On top and everything. This baby is ready to flip.
It's just not the case. I mean,
it's 10:53 a.m. Pacific time, and my work shift. Yet another job. I am almost ready to tap out from going job to job, struggling here in Southern California, but I got a place to live. Thank God my sister loves me. She's at work right now. My son Michael, he's up also. We're working together. This would be our second job that him and I are working together. Yeah, it's temporary jobs. And I think I'll make two eggs with one pancake. I used to be able to have like three huge pancakes. And if eggs were available, three eggs. But now that
I'll be right back.
Turn that heat down real low and let it cook. I can't stand pancakes that are all wet inside that aren't cooked all the way. You gotta learn how to control the burn. But I'm gonna mute this TV. So it is the 11th of April. Big day, huge day for Israel. And their thunder is being stolen. You remember President Clinton said something about, oh, he stole my thunder. He stole my thunder. But big day. And if you don't keep up with the news, you know, and I'm more like a watchman on the wall. I don't get all distressed and dismayed and everything on the news. Sometimes I get caught up in it like a soap opera. And I think from here on until the 2020 elections, it's going to be a big old soap opera. I haven't been watching the news hardly at all. I just scroll the internet and read the things that are going on and just leave it at that. And I don't even participate in too many conversations anymore. But we should still at least participate in conversations when it comes to politics, the social aspects of our nation, and you know, pretty much all current events. But at the same time, remember in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 6 or chapter 20, I forget. I just posted it in a video I did last night in a blog, being a watchman on the wall. Set up a watchman on the wall so he could see when people are coming in and going. And that's what we are as Christians. We're watchmen on the wall. Even the Bereans, they check to see if certain claims are true by looking through the scriptures. So Jesus said to know the enemy, know who your enemy is. So we're, as Christians, we're not supposed to be ignorant. But Julian Assange, who is Julian Assange? He's a guy that nobody knew who he was. He had his own independent news platform, kind of like Breitbart. That's my sister's wall clock. It's a chime clock. It's pretty cool. It plays New York, and all kinds of stuff. And bacon grease, too. Look at that. Is asking me something. I don't want to tag something. Bacon grease. On a seasoned skillet. You can see that. The Julian Assange story was from WikiLeaks, and that's what he called his news platform, WikiLeaks. And I guess it was kind of a pun on Wikipedia, because on Wikipedia, you know, you could look up just about anything. It's like Britannica and a bunch of other encyclopedias. Instead of having all those encyclopedias, you could go to Wikipedia. But he began in 2010. In 2009, January was Obama's first month, January 2009, in his first term. So he became a thorn in the flesh for what people are now calling the deep state and all this stuff. In 2012, I believe he got accused by some people in Sweden for, all of a sudden, he's a molester and a rapist. And when you've got a big mouth, and I've said a lot of reporters just got big mouths, they talk too much. But maybe they're just willing to die for what they believe, like us Christians are supposed to be, you know, willing to die for our belief. And look at my last podcast from last night. It's about China. They're putting out rewards for people turning in people now. Up to $1,500 in their currency. Now that's warm enough. Drop a couple eggs in there. Got my phone leaning on the egg box. So, and then Julian Assange, he had to go, he decided he was going to go to the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And he's been holed up in there for the past few years. 2010, of course, 2 years before Obama's second term. He's been nothing but a thorn in the flesh to the Republicans in name only. That's what RINOs are. RINO is the acronym for Republicans in name only. And he's been a thorn in the flesh to, of course, Hillary Clinton. When she was running for president, she called for the Ecuadorian government to turn Julian Assange loose to them. After the elections, she really wanted him, and she didn't get him. And I think she's exactly like Jezebel in the Bible. If it's possible for somebody to have the same demon that was in somebody else in the biblical times, she fits the bill. So, Israel's huge day. One of the biggest days in Israel's history as a new nation since 1946, when Israel was reborn into another nation after thousands of years in exile. Israel today, I believe it's going to be sometime in the afternoon Israel time, may even be right now as we speak, but the smallest craft to ever land on the moon, also the fourth nation to land on the moon behind United States, Russia, and China. And today is also the day that their elections numbers for all of their parliament candidates. And Benjamin Netanyahu already won a couple days ago his fifth term as Prime Minister of Israel. So he's a conservative, and they're saying that young voters in Israel are leaning more conservative than their parents. And it has been, they're expecting that they're going to have a conservative majority in the parliament also. So it's real huge, huge for Israel. And of course, we're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And those who bless Israel, God will bless, and all that. But this Julian Assange thing, I don't know if nobody knows, but they're already getting this guy named Ben Sasse. He's been a thorn in Trump's flesh for the past year. Teasing the media that he's going to be running against Trump. But the Republican Party the GOP convention already advised all Republicans to don't even think about running against Donald Trump in 2020. So maybe it's a win-win-win for world conservatives. Trump, Israel, maybe even England. But to bring Trump, to bring Julian Assange eventually to the United States, because he has to be tried in London, in Sweden, and the United States. And when he comes to the United States, or maybe they'll think of something. They always think of something if they want to. They could say anything they want, justify anything they want. And then they can unjustify what they justified. It does. It's just like a company, a corporation. So if he gets exonerated or pardoned, that means it's a win for righteousness, okay? When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So there is such thing as righteous rule. I haven't really seen it in my lifetime. I've seen a little bit of it with Ronald Reagan, but way, way more with Donald Trump. But who, this Julian Assange, somehow it's got to all fit together. And it's just like world events that are happening that are all fitting together for prophecy. But the main thing, don't let all this stuff, I don't want to come up with this big O theory, but on one hand, it's possible that Trump rescued him, Trump and company, people rescued him. And another thing, Obama has been in Europe apologizing for the United States again. I have not read a thing about what he's doing in Europe, going on a speech tour. But back to what I alluded to earlier, Hillary Clinton accused Obama of not doing enough for her to win the White House. So on one hand, this could be Obama's reckoning, you know, a present for Hillary, so to speak, but a day late and a dollar short. Or it could be a win for so-called righteous rule in the world. We're not going to see total righteous rule in the world, although the governments are on Jesus' shoulders. We know that, and that's kind of a riddle. But the main thing is salvation in Jesus Christ. If you're afraid of all these things going on in the United States, weird stuff, just totally bizarre. This whole world is bizarre. But you got to come to Jesus in order to not be, at least to have peace that passes all understanding, and to not be troubled. Because what do? We're supposed to go to work. We're not supposed to babysit all the governments and the politicians and everything. That's what our votes are for. But we're getting drawn into this thing like it's a big, huge soap opera or a reality show. But don't be troubled, folks. I don't think I've done a broadcast, a podcast, a serious one in a month, but I did one last night. And every time I do one, my palms are sweating, I'm sweating, I'm nervous, I'm praying to the Lord, and He gives me the correct scriptures to use and to share. And it's a big deal to me, but every time this happens, the next day, something weird happens. So check out my last podcast, and when you see this stuff on the news, don't even watch. I trust you if you trust me. I could watch the news and not get all bent out of shape and everything. I actually know, I'm pretty good at reading between the lines. I was a news director for four and a half years at an AM Christian radio station, a production manager, and a DJ. So, you know, it took me several years to weed out a whole bunch of sources, and I'm probably down to 10. So if you see me post something on online, it's safe to read. But I'm almost tapping out. I'm not getting all bent out of shape like I was before the elections and past year and a half. I'm almost tapping out. Tag team, I'm tagging somebody else, my friends. I got friends, Richard, Melissa, all kinds of people that are, you know, that are taking over for sharing things. But I've had it up to here. So if you hear something from me, it's because the Lord is just moving me to say something. But don't get all bent out of shape about this Julian Assange thing. It may be big, and whatever it is pretty big. But that's that. I gotta eat my eggs. Thank you, Jesus, for this food, place to live, for one job to another, for provision, and all that stuff. Bless everybody who's listening. Bless all my friends, my family, my children, and just move this nation. A lot of people are like, why do these people even care? Because the Lord puts the care in us, okay? You don't know until you got Jesus. But then there's a lot of people in the church that are apathetic, and I can't understand why they don't care. But their silence doesn't mean that they don't care. A lot of people are quiet, but they really do care. But when they do come out, it's like, don't underestimate short people. Watch out for the short people. Watch out for the quiet people. So, not judging or anything like that. So, but there are a lot of people in the church that they don't care. And, but things are going to be happening with the mainstream media. I think the Democrat Party and the Republican Party are on their last leg. Something is going to happen. And the mainstream media, they're on their last leg. People don't even watch TV news anymore, except for either just for kicks or just to see what they're saying, and that's it. Not to learn. People aren't turning on the news so they can learn something anymore. It's just out of curiosity. So, everybody be encouraged, have joy, have peace, all this stuff going on. Thank God that we're not in Africa being kidnapped, beheaded, and crucified literally on crosses here in the United States. We've got a lot to be thankful for, and we've got a lot to pray for. I pray for those people in Africa, the African nations and the Arab nations in the Middle East. I pray for Muslims, because by the thousands, they're coming to Jesus in visions and dreams. Jesus is literally appearing to them. So there's a lot of stuff that you're not going to know unless you actively pursue information, either at the library or online. Well, praise Jesus, everybody. I'm back. The big question is today's Israeli moon landing part of biblical prophecy? You're going to be seeing all this stuff on the news. Nobody even knew about it until shortly before landing. Israel has the smallest craft to ever land on the moon, and Israel is still now, as of today, April 11th, 2019, and at 12:25 p.m. Pacific time, landed on the moon. But before, during, and after the landing, they lost communications. And I think they only lost communication with the craft once, which was a day or so ago, when it was each time, actually, because it rotated around the moon. And when it goes to the dark side of the moon, they lose communication. But when they were at the landing area, they lost communication. But they say that it did not land correctly. And did it land correctly? And they're just saying it's not didn't land correctly. I don't know. I'm not part of their strategery. What is the business of the that craft, which they say is roughly the size of a washing machine? And China, Russia, and the United States are the only countries that have landed on the moon, supposedly. But at 12:25, it landed right on time. but it was not as successful. Supposedly it was not as successful. I don't know. But everybody's going to become experts on it. I've known this since the last 4 days. I had no idea. I saw something online, and it wasn't a friend. Usually, my friends on social media post a lot of the news, and I check it all out. But none of my friends posted anything about this moon landing, but guaranteed everybody's going to be an expert in it by tomorrow, as typically happens with things that we weren't told of. But today is a huge, 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 huge day for winning, and this Israeli moon landing is one of them, and I believe that Julian Assange being brought into custody is another win. No matter what everybody says, the rhinos and the Dems and the socialists and the commies and what have you, I believe it's a win. And you gotta check out my podcasts and vlogs. Video blogs are a little bit rarer now due to time constraint and production. It took me 4 hours just to do a 1 hour thing last night, and that's just because I decided to do it. And then once I decide, okay, I'm going to do it right now, I still had to put everything and line it all up, get everything together and line it all up. It took me 4 hours. So, but it's a big win. This is such a bizarre day of news. So Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, congratulations to you, Prime Minister Netanyahu. Congratulations to Israel. Their elections is today. All the counts are complete today, and if I'm not mistaken, the conservative branch of the parliament is the majority, as along with a fifth term for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And this Julian Assange thing, it's amazing. And remember what Donald Trump said, that when he was campaigning, he said that we're going to get sick of winning. My heart is kind of expanded. It's, I don't know, there's some kind of excitement going on. There's an anticipation. And I was kind of hoping that somebody would have some answers for what's going on. And it's almost a letdown, but one of the NASA spokespersons, NASA people that are in Israel, they had a watch event of the landing. He said that he thinks that Israel can still be proud, and rightly so. We could be proud. Israel could be proud of this event. And the name Bashir, something like that, but in translation, the name of the craft is Genesis. So praise Jesus. Hopefully this is like a new beginning. As far as things that man is able to do, a new beginning for justice in the world, for the prosperity of God's people, Christians, Israelis, Arabs, Latinos, Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, Pacific Islanders, the whole world. Just a new day. Two more years for President Trump's, and we all base our timelines on elections also. But we need to base our timelines and our happiness and our victories in the Lord. So is this moon landing in Bible prophecy the only thing in the Bible that has anything to do with this moon landing? If it does at all, would be found in the book of Amos, chapter 9, and verse 2. And I want to read from, I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and you'll see, and I'll elaborate on it after I read it. chapter 9 of Amos. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that flees from them shall not flee away, and he that escapes of them shall not be delivered. And that's my sister's famous wall clock. That's the entertainer. It even plays New York, New York. But going forward, verse 2. Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to the heaven, thence will I bring them down. Now this seems like an attempt, almost like building the Tower of Babel. God destroyed it because their intentions were to reach heaven. The vain intentions was to reach heaven. But this instance right here, Amos was a prophet, and God gave him several dreams. But you look at the timeline, as you read it, you should deduct that this is because it goes on to talk about the destruction of the nation of Israel. The timeline is before they cease to be a nation. And one of several prophecies in the Bible is of the nation of Israel ceasing to exist as a nation is in this chapter and chapter 8 before it. Did Israel try to go to the moon? Or did they have spaceships before? It's kind of hard to say no, because you look at hieroglyphics and recordings of pictures and just, you know, the pyramids and other monuments around the world that were created using the maps of the galaxy as focal points and things like that. But supposedly there's extraterrestrial beings. I don't believe there's extraterrestrial beings. The only extraterrestrial beings that I know of would be fallen angels, demons, and spirits. And they certainly don't need any physical creations of metals and lights. Angels travel in different ways. But when we see visions, we see a chariot of fire, a chariot come down, pick up Elijah and go off. Or, I can't even think, I'm having a brain relapse right now. But one of the other characters in the Old Testament, Seth, he was talking to the Lord, and suddenly he was not. Biblical scholars deduct that he was taken up to heaven. So were there space things? I don't know. But oftentimes, especially in the book of Psalms, in King David's prayers, he jumps back and forth. He's grieving to God, and all of a sudden he has a prophecy of Jesus being born and rejected. And then he's back to his prayers, thanking God and giving him honor and glory for how good God is, though he began in grief and with offering his complaints to the Lord. So in this instance, it's kind of perplexing that there's an instance that Israel is going to attempt to go to heaven and God's going to bring him down. So if that is part of biblical prophecy, this is the only part in the whole Bible. I challenge you to read the Bible yourself and you'll see. This is an amazing scripture. Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them, and though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. I would lean more towards that this is part of biblical prophecy, and just because there's a written timeline a series of verses before God is speaking through Amos about the future destruction of Israel as a nation, that had to have already happened before, only based on the sequence of the verses. But if this happened to have been written by Amos or his scribe, whoever actually wrote it, but it is Amos's words, as God's words repeated by Amos, but if it is similar to what King David does, he jumps back and forth, it could mean right now. We don't know. We don't have to know. The only thing we have to know, that our security and our quality of life and our security and happiness and joy and salvation is in Jesus. Jesus is the answer to everything that you're going through right now. And I could spend time talking about what I'm going through, but I'm not. This is a brief thing right here. But Jesus is the answer. There's nothing much more that could be said except for Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And so there you have it. Just for kicks, curiosity, if you want to go to YouTube and just do a YouTube search, Israeli moon landing Bible prophecy, just use those words and you'll see all kinds of stuff. But when it boils down to it, Amos chapter 9 verse 2 is the only verse in the Bible that would have anything to do with this moon landing. So I'm letting you know that right now. Save you a lot of trouble. Save you a lot of perplexion on your complexion. And Jesus is just, Jesus soothes the soul, no matter what you're going through. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. And I'll put a link on here to my podcast from last night, because it's just amazing. I started out talking about this. After today, personally, I for the past couple of weeks, I have not watched the news hardly, except for a couple minutes or a few minutes at a time, just out of curiosity. But go to your word, go to the Bible, start reading the Bible. Let's become professors of our faith and less professors of what is going on in the world. Jesus said we're to be in the world but not of the world. And there's another verse that says, he who wars wisely concerns himself not with the things of the earth, but rather things of what his master commands him to do. So we are children of God. We have been purchased with the price of Jesus on the cross, and we are to go forward in him. The term in him, in Jesus, we're to go in Jesus and learn of him. Jesus says, learn of me, come to me, and I will in no wise cast you away. So let's learn of Jesus. I pray for everybody listening. Dear Jesus, I just pray that you will soothe the souls of millions in the world who are crying out to you, Lord, that are seeking you with all their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, share if you care. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. No credits to anybody. That was a cover band. And too bad for YouTube. I have learned that don't have any television in the background or music or anything, because you get those nasty letters about copyrights and stuff like that. So I don't do that. Thank you again for listening to my new show, The Watchmen Guy, and my new platform, Podbean. This will be on Podbean, and I think by tomorrow I will have it on my blog also, but all the links are there. Thank you again. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.